billions of animals are killed every day. Think about that. You know, what if it was your child? Like, she's given birth today and she's eaten tomorrow. What's that? Think about the animals, because animals, they're here with us. They're not for us, you know. They are also humans in their own way. Helping is more of networking, you know, supporting. Because if you can't support me in maybe donating, someone can connect me to that person. You can volunteer to give us your expertise, your skills, your time. Maybe some people are not financially stable, so they can't provide maybe money, but they can provide anything, you know, skills, expertise, time. That's called volunteering.
For nature.
For the ocean.
For people.
For animals.
Hello, lovely Sanus Planet community. It's amazing that you all are listening today again to this English episode of the Sanus Planet podcast. And as you can see, if you watch this YouTube podcast, you can see I have a very young guest today, Julius Kirumira from Uganda, which is amazing to have you here on this platform, on this podcast. Thank you so much, Julius, for your time. Thank you so much for being here.
Okay, thank you so much. I would like to take the opportunity to thank you, Ms. Magdalena, for this opportunity, because if you are seen by many people, it helps us to achieve our goals and causes. So thank you so much for this platform. And I would like to thank everybody there that is making it good for this planet, to make it a wonderful place for all of us. Thank you so much.
Wow. Amazing. Thank you. Well, for everyone who does not know Julius yet, and I can imagine many of you don't know Julius yet, but soon you will. Julius is the founder of the Vegan Planet Africa, which is an association that is caring for veganism, for animal rights. And Julius will tell us a lot about his organization today. But for everyone, for you to understand, Julius is 20 years old now. And when he founded the Vegan Planet Africa, he was 17, Julius, right? You have been 17 years old. And this is incredible. I love it. I many times think back when I was in your age, I did not care at all. I did not understand these topics. I did not know anything about animal rights. I thought I love animals. At the same time, I ate them. Today, I cannot understand it. But then it was like that. So thank you so much that you, in such a young age, are doing such an incredible work. And I have seen some of your work, and it's amazing. I love it. So we will talk about this today, and you can share with us all why you do what you do. But first, Julius, tell us a little bit about yourself. Who are you, Julius from Uganda? Who are you? What are you doing at the moment? What's happening at your side? And why did I invite you today? Who are you?
Yes. Thank you so much again. So I'm Julius Chirumira from Uganda, basically from Entebbe. For those who have visited Uganda, they know Entebbe because this is where our airport is. I'm 20 years of age, and I'm a student. I'm at campus right now, and I do graphic design. So I have a single mother with my sister, little sister. And so sometimes I do some part-time in a bakery for just to raise my tuition somewhere and for my sister, because my mom, she's somewhere a poor lady dealing with selling vegetables in the market. So the money she makes can't cater for us all. So sometimes I have to go to the bakery and I work so that I raised some money. I studied from school in Kumba University, still located in Entebbe, Uganda. I've been vegan for almost now 6 years.
Wow.
But this started a long time ago when I was young. We had a dog at our home, remember? Mm-hmm. I grew up seeing only mom. Dad is alive, but he doesn't stay with us. So he went a long time ago. So we had a dog called Max. For me, growing up, I used to see Max, you know. I was young and he was like a friend to me. One time I came back from school and Max was poisoned, you know. So I was dead. We first tried to look for him. So after maybe one day, I found his body beside the bush, full of house flies. So I went back, I called mom, mom came. She was like, well, so you were in deep sorrows, you know, because a friend, you've grown up seeing him there. So since then, I did first take it as something too personal because I was young. But as I grew up, I brought up this idea in my mind that I should maybe fight for animals' rights because of what happened to my friend Max, you know. He was poisoned, and I'm sure it was the government because they do it more often in our country. When they see that stray animals are many, they start providing meat containing poison. They dump them on streets so that these animals eat. So when they eat, they die. So I think that happened with Max because for us, we were poor. We couldn't afford getting him food every day. So he had to get some ways on how to get food himself. So maybe when he went that day, maybe get something from the streets, he just ate the poison because we found his stomach was so huge. And by then I didn't know that it was poison, but my mom told me that because for her, she was old and she knew how poison reacts on animals. So since then, I developed that idea of helping animals, fighting for animal welfare. So when I was in my high school, with my friends, some few friends that I loved animals, but still they ate them, you know, they used to eat them. For me, at first, I first chilled eating meat, you know, but I used to eat eggs, drink milk, all those things, but I didn't eat meat. So, but when I was 16, I said, no, I should stop everything. Like anything containing animal products, because that's how I can pay a tribute to my friend completely, you know? So I said, no, I should stop all this. And so I made some research, and on making research, I even saw many people who are vegans say, now I should start working on this, because since then, since the death of Max, it was my idea, and I wanted to do it more and more so that I help many animals as I can. So I set up the organization called Vegan Planet Africa. By then we were two with my friend, but now it disappeared because it many years has passed. So it disappeared. I don't know where he is now. So I went on. When I finished my Form 4 and my vacation, then I came up with the organization finally. We brought in the body issues, constitution, water constitution, and then I gained some few friends, of course, who were vegans, but these vegans who sometimes eat meat, sometimes they don't. And for me, it was okay for me because you can't let someone just join, you know? Like, you have to give them space. Like, you can do this, but when time comes, you can stop it, you know? Don't force them things, you know? That's how we do it here. So time came and we are completely vegans, and I was happy because when, you know, your friends isn't doing anything bad on animals, using their products, of course you're happy, you know?
Yeah.
So yeah, that's how we did it. And then in 2022, last year, we decided to go and register it, like to be a legal organization. Went through the process very well, registered it as an NGO. Now can work under laws, because even if I want to conduct an event somewhere, I'm legalized to do it because I'm registered, you know?
Yeah.
So that's how we are now.
That's a big step.
And that's how we started.
Legalize the NGO. That's really important. I know many people in different areas in Africa that are having kind of an NGO, but not legalized it. So not, like not registered it officially. And in the end, also we from Sanus Planet cannot really help them because it has to be a registered official NGO. So it's a really good step that you have done. And everybody who's listening here today now, the Vegan Planet Africa is registered as well at Sanus Planet, Sanus Life. So if you ever want to support a little bit, you can send some coins there. You can send a little bit of support because Julius is doing many projects to support animals, to protect animals. And if you want to help him doing this, then you can do that by just supporting him with a few coins if you want to. This is just an option. But Julius, you said that you became vegan mostly because of the story with your friend Max, right? I mean, he showed you that animals do matter to you and that you have this strong bond to animals.
Yes, yes.
Was this the moment when Max got poisoned that you really wanted to go vegan? Was this already the moment where you said, it's enough, I want to protect animals?
No, by that time when Max died, I only wanted to fight for his freedom, you know, mm-hmm. because I was young in age. Mm-hmm. So what was on my mind was only fighting for his freedom and maybe some other animals, you know, mm-hmm. but my main focus was on him because he was really a friend. He was a brother to me because I grew up, me growing up, he was at home, you know. Mm-hmm. So losing someone like him, of course, it takes you somewhere else. So for me, my aim was to fight for what? For his rights. But by then, I didn't know about veganism. Mm-hmm. I used to eat meat also, but when I like animals, mm-hmm. like how you said before, I used to like animals, love them, but I used to eat meat. I didn't know about the veganism. I first made research and I knew that, hey, there are also other people who are vegans and they don't do such things. So I stopped, but mainly my main focus was fighting for animal rights because Max was poisoned in a bad way. And I knew it wasn't the last time they are going to do it. So I wanted to start about the things of fighting for animal welfare and rights. So that's how I started it.
Did you achieve something there with, if you think that the government was in the end poisoning Max, because I can imagine in some places people are poisoning a lot of the stray animals when there are many, they're getting poisoned, so they get rid of them and things like that. Did you reach something with that topic?
Yes. Last year, they passed on an information. I shared it on my LinkedIn. The government was warning people, community people in my area, that it was November. It was November 1st, last year, November 1st. So they said on that day, people should vacate their animals from the streets. They should take away their animals because they are going to start poisoning. I was like, oh, geez, did they even announce it? So I came on to LinkedIn. I asked for support because I wanted to reach out to the leaders, our community leaders, and even try to help animals, you know. So we carried out a great project. We went on to provide food for Australia. We made an outreach for the whole day. We provided food for the animals, for the stray dogs, while we sensitized people that you guys should remove your animals from the streets because they are going to poison them. So people who are willing to partner with us, they did it. And there are some people who refused. So their dogs were poisoned. But for us, we did the good work because we spent days talking to these people, visiting village per village, telling them that maybe you guys should remove your animals from the streets because tomorrow, any other day, they're going to poison them. So many of them listened. They removed them from the streets. And those who refused, of course, their animals were poisoned. They were unlucky, you know. Mm-hmm. But what we did was good because we bought food that day. We went on giving dogs, stray dogs, giving them food, giving even the families that maybe you can take this, you feed your dog for some good days. So that's what we did. And the project was successful, by the way. And also, we managed to, because we came up with an idea of maybe coming up with an animal sanctuary. Mm-hmm. But, you know, it's expensive. So we managed to afford land. We bought land where we're going to build our sanctuary. Yes, we bought land.
Nice.
So and now the only thing remaining is the construction. But because the funds, we have no funds because our budget says it's worth $20,000.
Mm-hmm.
You know
what? So I'm sure we too will make an update, a follow update podcast interview in about 1 year. And I am pretty sure that you can tell us there already about how the construction is moving on, because with the support of Sanos Planet and Sanos Life, you will for sure be able to do something. So you can start that in a few weeks or months, that you have a bit more support. So I'm sure about that. And then you can tell us exactly how it looks like and how the construction is moving on. That's what I wish for you. That's one question what I wanted to ask you anyway, because I saw on LinkedIn, first of all, you're quite connected to LinkedIn. You're using it very good. I saw that.
Yes.
So anybody who wants to be in touch with you, they should just type your name and get in touch and follow you, because you're doing incredible work there. And also I saw that you want to create this this shelter, that beautiful place for animals. That's really cool that you have a shelter then at some point in Uganda, in your place in Tebe, and that you have a beautiful area where the animals can come. Do you have a possibility that people can support you already now? So they, if they want to support you and send money, where can they send the money to?
Of course, if they want to send the money, we have our GoFundMe. I think it's on my profile, LinkedIn profile.
We will put it in show notes. Everybody who's listening here, you can just click on that link and support there.
Yes, someone wants to donate, you can use that's LinkedIn, GoFundMe, the GoFundMe link is on my profile. So you can click and donate maybe something, because we are actually in need, because we only bought land, and then after I bought land, because even land was expensive, but we finally gotten it. And so now the only thing we have is to start building. And by the way, dogs, they are somewhere to have volunteer who managed to keep them for some time. But is now becoming impatient, because the time he gave us is already done and he wants to rent out his place. So he said that maybe if you don't pay for rent, we are dumping these dogs to the streets, and we can't afford that, you know. So we are calling upon all support, because we need to pay the rent maybe for some time, so that he keeps the dogs, he keeps on keeping them until we finalize with our building. But it's unfortunate that we have not started about the building, because there are no funds. We have tried to call upon for support from people, but of course, it's not working. And we have tried to apply for grants there and there, but still, you haven't gotten a chance to get any grant, because grant money is a bit much and you can do something fast, but we have so far failed to get any grant. So anyone who would wish to help us, we welcome individual support, organization support, and by the way, we welcome partnerships and collaborations, because from there we can do a lot of work. Yeah. So feel free, anyone who would like to support, we are open. You can use our LinkedIn profile to check out the link. It's the GoFundMe link, and put something there to support our cause.
Yes, that's a good call. So everybody who's listening, if you can, give a little bit. It doesn't have to be huge, but if everybody gives a little bit, it's also something. And Julius, how do you experience being vegan in your country, in Uganda? Is it, first of all, is it hard to be vegan? Like, I mean, vegan is not so hard, but if you want to have a little bit of, like, all of the nutrients and everything you really need, is there everything provided? Can you find everything? And how do people around you react on you being vegan? How is that?
Yes, being vegan in Uganda is the most difficult thing you've ever seen.
Okay. You know? Yes, okay.
Because here, people, since then, people see animals as sacrifices. See them as, no, when families eat meat here in Uganda, now you're a rich family, because poor families can't afford meat. So there's no way you can tell someone that leave meat when it's seen as a luxury thing here. So even in universities where we go to study, you can be in a full university where you're only vegan, you know? And the people, in the number of maybe 1,000 students, you're the only vegan there. So it's very difficult. And even now the people react. Because I remember one time last year, I found out that when I was coming back to my hostel room, they had cut, they got the chicken, you know? It was a hen maybe. So they cut off the head and they put it on my doorway with a note, like maybe, I should stop what I'm doing. They're not interested. What? So, you know, this thing is really difficult, and maybe it can cause even depression if you can't take it in a calm way. Because someone killing an animal that you preach that they should love, and someone kills it and puts it on your doorway is something weird. So just know here it's more difficult being a vegan, because people are not interested. The few are interested, and that's what you're working on. Because for me, I don't care. I can't change the whole planet, you know. But at least if I can take it step by step, few people at a time, we can make it somewhere, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So their reaction isn't that good, but some people are willing to change, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But still step by step, because someone can say, Julius, you've told me everything, but I can't leave chicken. You know, chicken is sweet, but what? They talk a lot. But says, now I can leave meat. They say, someone can say, I can't leave eggs, but I can leave milk, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So you leave them to catch up step by step, you know?
Yeah.
That's how we do it here, because you can't find anyone that can transform once, to leave everything at once, no. They come up step by step. They come up leaving some things step by step, you know. You can leave the meat, but you can't leave the chicken. She can leave the chicken, she can't leave the meat. So that's how we do it here. But of course, with the help of my group, we have managed to transform many people as we can, because we call out community outreaches, you know.
Yeah.
You see my posts. The first posts on LinkedIn, we used to call out the community outreaches, teaching people. But of course, you used to receive few of them. You get like 10, 15. That's how we do it. But of course, as I told you, in Uganda, people are not interested. Any person you get counts, because, you know, it's something difficult here to get people to listen to you about veganism. People here are interested in listening about church things, you know.
Mm.
That's how you can pull up a big crowd. But if I talk about veganism and teach about it, the climate change, environment, plant-based lifestyle, you get a few people.
Mm.
But we don't care. Even if you get a few people, at the end of that day, they will change and they will put the message to other people. So that's how we do it.
Mm.
Yes.
Yeah, that's amazing. And do you have also, I mean, it's amazing. I want to say it's kind of a hard one as well. Like at my home, when I became vegan, it was quite new too. I am vegetarian since 10 years and vegan since 7 years. So not so much longer than you that I became vegan. And but I'm quite older than you. So I needed much more time to understand about all of this topic I did not know about before. But it was at the beginning when I became vegetarian or then vegan. It was not hard though, because I really wanted to do it and to go for it. And here it's more and more easy to find the products that are a bit like vegan cheese things. Nobody needs vegan cheese, but it's nice sometimes. So to have these products that you are not, you don't feel like you can only eat potatoes and vegetables anymore, but you have also these other options, that is coming more and more. So it makes it easier step by step every day for the people to really try another way of the diet, right? But in some places where these products are not even existing, it's possible too to become vegan, but it's sometimes a little bit like harder for the people to make the change. So these products are mainly helping people to create the change easier, because they don't feel left out and they don't feel like 90% of what they have been eating, they cannot eat anymore, because it's a possibility to have just another product for it. But how is it with soy milk or oat milk or these things? Do you get that at your home? Do you have that as well? These possibilities?
Yes, you have soy milk here.
Mm-hmm.
But yes, you have soy milk. We have maize. Yeah, you know, maize flour. You can here in Uganda, there's a way we cook it and then we take it as porridge, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So that's how we do it here. But of course, people don't engage in using them a lot.
Mm-hmm.
People are more on milk because they see milk makes you maybe healthy, what?
Yeah.
So they are more focused on that side.
Enough, right? Because
yes.
It's the opposite of milk makes you healthy. It's just not true. But it's interesting how much people believe in it, because there's a whole lockdown,
yes,
which makes a lot of money by advertising milk to be healthy, which is just not true.
Yes, of course. But if I want to say it to people here that it's not true, they will just say, you just move. Because
yes,
they think you don't know what you're talking about. So
yeah,
you just leave them in there, because
yeah,
at the end of that day, peace is more powerful,
yes,
than maybe arguing, you get? So
yeah,
that's how they think it is. And even if you talk about fruits here, people here eat fruits more often, they eat them. But of course, for them, they think fruits are not enough for their health.
Mm-hmm.
You know, They think plants are not enough for the others. So they add on meat, they add on milk, they add on eggs, they add on whatever they want, they think is better for the others. Maybe they are forgetting that at the end of that day, some animals are already infected, you know?
Yeah.
You might eat meat where the cow maybe has brucella. So you're getting yourself infected. They don't know about it, you know? So, but here, plants are always better because there's no side effect in eating plants. Do you know anything there, like side effects? But eating meat, even if you tell them that it has side effects, they can't understand, apart from a few people, because in a crowd of 100 people, maybe you can get 10 that understand you. And that's a win for us, because getting 10 people here in Uganda that follow you is more, you get it. So that's how it is.
Yeah, it's amazing. And I can feel that you're like a not giving up person. Like you move forward, you move step by step.
I can't, yeah.
I can see that, that's amazing. So even though it's step by step, and even if it's not fast or it doesn't feel fast, it is a huge step every single time when you reach one person listening to you. And that's awesome. So thank you so much for that, for not giving up and for staying strong there. What would you like to tell the people that are listening today? There is not everyone who's listening is vegan. Some are for sure, but some maybe are not. But many people know about the topic. What would you like to tell the people that are from like the Sanus Planet community or the Sanus Life community, European, mostly at the moment still European-centered living people? What would you like to tell them to understand the situation that is happening in Uganda, for example, that it is not for everyone the same easy way to go vegan or to act for animal rights? What would you like to tell the people that they can support you the best way that might help you, that might help you, that they give you much more support, that they maybe understand your situation of how much you have to fight for these animals, that you even can create a project? Is there some message you would like to share?
Yes, first of all, I know that many of them are not vegans. People, not even who sees this is a vegan. But I would like to tell them that let them give it a try, you know? Mm-hmm. How? Because the simplest way I can, for me, what I know, make your timetable, you know? Make your timetable, say that on this day and this, I'll be trying out a plant-based meal. You know, make it 1 month, 2 months, 4 months, like that. I'm sure you'll cope up with the pace and you'll feel it. Because at the end of that day, when you look about maybe the factory farming, mostly in Europe, factory farming is more there. Billions of animals are killed every day. Think about that, you know? What if it was your child, like she's given birth today, and she's eaten tomorrow? What's that? You know, think about it. Think about the animals, because animals, what I know, they are here with us. They're not for us, you know? They are also humans in their own way. So think about them before making your appetite more bigger than it, you know? But the most simplest way is make a timetable. Make it simple for you. Like, don't give yourself your time in making decisions. Say, I can do this, I can do that. Make it on paper, put it somewhere for that timetable. I'm pretty sure in a few months, you feel the veganism in your body, and you leave all this and you follow it up to the end of your life. I'm sure about it. And another thing, for those who would like to support or who follow my work, I do, it's a simple thing. I don't know whether they know about advocacy and awareness. Advocacy and awareness is whereby you make people around you aware of what I do or what we do in Uganda, advocating for our projects that we put on our accounts. That's the best way, I think, because when you make people aware of what we do, you never know, you get support from other people that you talk to. You get. There is because even those who can educate others, like you know, Miss Magna, you know, you can say, I have a group of my people, I educate them about this every day, or maybe climate change, or maybe animal welfare. That's good. You can relate to us. You can relate to any organization in Uganda or in Italy or whatever. So I think it's more of networking. Helping is more of networking, you know, supporting. Because if you can't support me in maybe donating, someone can connect me to that person. You never know, for you, you can support me in volunteering. You can volunteer to give us your expertise, your skills, your time. Maybe some people are not financially stable, so they can't provide maybe money, but they can provide anything, you know, skills, expertise, time. That's called volunteering. So any person there that would like to support or engage in our projects, I think that's more easier. If this can't, then network. Networking is more better. If you can't help me in that way, maybe someone can do it. So connect me to that person. I think that's clear.
Yeah, that's amazing. Networking is that one of the most important skills we can have and create and build. So everybody who heard the mission and the vision and the project of Julius, please find out who could help Julius as well to go for his dream to create a shelter. Yeah, what by the way, what is your big dream, Julius? You want to share? What is your big dream, your big vision?
My big dream, you know, Uganda here, we are about 43 million people. Mm-hmm. But if you put it on 100 scale, 100% scale, my big dream would start first from my country, because I can't conquer maybe Europe, I can't conquer South America, but my biggest dream is to first put my country in one of the best vegan countries in maybe Africa. And then after that, I wish to go even beyond. But my first dream is to make sure that maybe we are seen as a country here in Africa that is on top, maybe the top five, because here in Africa or South Africa, it's the best, South Africa. Now, one day, one time, I wish us to be in that league whereby when talk about the best vegan countries in Africa, Uganda is among the top. That's my biggest dream ever.
That sounds because, like an amazing dream. Awesome. I support that dream 100%. I'm subscribing there. Really cool.
Yes, that's my dream. I wish to be my country to be top in Africa, because it's our people here, they are more lazy about veganism. So I wish to push it up the level whereby when you search, they'll bring Uganda in the top. That's what I want. That's really my big dream.
Yeah, that's amazing. I love it. I love your dream. I'm pretty sure that the community who was listening today also loves this dream and wants to help you and to support you in any way, that with money, with financial support, but also with the network. And that's exactly what we are doing here. That's why I interviewed you today, because really everyone who's listening today, like Julius just said it, networking is one of the most important things we can do. And if you cannot support financially, maybe someone else can. And you for sure know people that love what Julius is doing. Help in any way, support in any way. It doesn't always need to be the money. It can be so many other things as well. Thank you. Thank you so much, Julius, for your time. Is there something else you would love to share? Or
Yes, of course. I wanted to pass on this. Right now, we are doing our project. It's called Plant-Based Food Initiative for Africa. We already started it.
Yes, because I wanted to ask, what exactly do you work on right now? I did not ask that. Yes, give it a
last time, we were at some school called Winterland Primary School, and there we organized, it was a plant-based meal. But through that, it was educational, because we talked about climate change to the students, environmental change, and conservation, and then animal welfare and rights. So it was more education to the students. And after, we provided a plant-based meal. It was so, so fun for them, because it was really good for them. They gave a testimony, was very wild, you know. They said, you know, we have not eaten this before, because we brought in some special food for them, and we taught them about it, the plant-based diet. So it was fun. So I wish you people to support me in this, or to support us, because we need more things. You know, it takes a lot of it takes a lot of challenges to come up with such a project, because firstly, it's expensive here. You have to provide food, you have to provide chefs, you have to pay them, you have to make sure your people that you've used or have helped you, they are comfortable. So it costs a lot, you know. But we were grateful that it was successful and children enjoyed it. We taught them, and which is more better is that they gained something. I'm working on a report about the project, so it's soon done. I'll be sharing it with you. You maybe see how the thing worked, you know, because it's a positive change. Because last time I went back there, the HM, the headmaster of the school, told me the project she brought in our school was really good for our students, and now he's seeing a lot of change in them on how they want to eat their meals, on what they want to eat, you know. They want to go plant-based more, you know. So because they enjoyed last time, yeah. So it's a really good, good positive change among our students. Like I said, not everyone can support through money, but there are many things that are needed. You know, we need things that coverage things like cameras, what to make things more clear, because right now we use our phones and sometimes they aren't good, you know. There are many things. We need speakers because we hire them now. We just hire. But hiring a speaker is expensive, you know. So you never know, someone there works in cameras, works in speakers. It might say that, yes, you know, I can send you a camera, even if it's not the best one, but at least can help us, you know. If he cannot donate, then he can say, I can send you a camera, I can send you a speaker. So we welcome everything. We welcome any support. We welcome partnerships and collaborations for those who would like to support us. Many people there, they want to know more about the plant-based diet or whatever. So we call upon your partnerships and collaborations, and I'm very sure that you like it the most. I'm sure about that too.
And I have something else in mind. Everybody who's listening today at Sun's Life Marketplace, there are quite a few companies that have beautiful and amazing and really good and healthy and tasty vegan products. So if there is a company listening right now who wants to donate something, who wants to support the vegan meals in schools and who wants to support Julius, you can probably also find for sure somehow a way to send food there. Like, for example, you know, peas protein. That's dried food, and you can make some amazing bolognese, whatever, out of it. And people don't even know the difference between meat or this. And it tastes good, and it's supportive for the environment, for the animals, definitely. So maybe some of the companies or someone who's listening today wants to support in that way. So that will be another way of thinking as well. So yeah, let's support in the best way we can. Well, for the podcast, I think we are in time. Is there something else you would like to share? I'm sure we will have a second podcast episode coming, maybe in a few months, maybe in 1 year. And I hope, and that's exactly what I want to work for with the Sounds Planet community, that next year you can show us or tell us already about
the progress
you have been doing. Yeah. Thank you so much, Julius, for your time. Thank you
so much for this opportunity also.
Awesome.
Thank you.
Of course, every time. And beautiful Sounds Planet community, thank you so much for listening today. Help where you can. Get in touch if you want to connect with Julius. You have all of the informations in the show notes. There are the links also. You can find him there, follow him, and support in any way possible. Thank you so much for listening. See you or hear you in 2 weeks. Bye, guys. Bye, Julius.